In about 15 minutes, one of the top high school football players in the state is holding a press conference, and Jordan is out there, Jordan Hamm. Chase Lucas, the kid at Chandler High, and he's going to decide among five schools, and Arizona State's one of them. This would be a big get for ASU. So we may drop in on that. We stream that over on our high school side, the CUSD. If you go to our homepage, sports360az.com, and you click on preps and you click on CUSD, you click on Chandler, and there it is. So we'll have that press conference live on our site, and we may just decide to jump in on that too. That's coming up in a few minutes. And then Paula's going to be with us. Paula's going to Skype today. Paula was in Pullman for the just marvelous matchup between Arizona State and Washington State. And I heard the end of the broadcast on the radio side. I was out doing a bunch of things. I actually took my son to a space convention on my 11-year-old. There's a space and science convention at ASU. It was very cool. So I saw a little bit of the game to start. I didn't see much in the middle because I was being a good dad. And then I listened to the end, and Jeff Van Rapport sounded like somebody had stolen his dog. Tim Healy sounded like somebody had run over his dog. Todd Graham sounded like he doesn't even have a dog and he'd like to have a dog. And just a miserable season continues for Arizona State. And then I watched almost all of LSU and Alabama. I'm one of those that right now, I don't have Alabama in my top four for the college football playoff. I do not have them in my top four. I think they're a good team, but I'm not one of these that wants to be in a man crush with the SEC every time they do something well with a matchup. I mean, look, when Stanford played USC or played UCLA, whenever it's the top teams in the Pac-12 South and North, there is not near the love and national attention because the Pac-12's television contract just simply isn't as good. They will get on air, but when they have games that are not that meaningful, they are put on the Pac-12 network, which is an outpost right now. Nice people at the Pac-12 network, but it's pretty clear over the years that what's gone on has started to impact the conference. The SEC will put all their games on the air, so instantly, national media just thinks they're the greatest thing ever. I don't know. I think Notre Dame's pretty darn good. I think Clemson's pretty darn good. I'll talk with Eric about this. Ohio State's pretty darn good. Baylor still has both Oklahoma schools and then TCU. And then Oklahoma State just whacked TCU over the weekend. But I'm not going to sit here today and say Alabama should be in the playoff just because they're in one conference. I'm just not doing that. On the pro front yesterday, I watched almost all of the Carolina-Green Bay game and saw some of the Colts game in the afternoon, but by and large, and then a little bit of last night. I mean, the Cowboys lose again. If you're a Cowboy fan, welcome. Knock yourself out. You know, your team's not good. Your team's got Greg Hardy on the field. And your owner excuses it away, and you find another way to lose. And I saw some of the Raiders-Steelers game, too. So I saw quite a bit of football. I have no interest tonight in the Chargers and the Bears, but the woman I sleep with, unfortunately, is a Charger fan, so I got to pay attention to that tonight. She will dominate my life. So there's that going on. And the bigger story over the weekend to me here locally, outside of ASU, is just the nonsense that is Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris. Just the absolute nonsense of the Morris twins. And I'll get into that as the show moves along as well. But the Pac-12 officials screwing up again in the ASU-Washington State game, being a fifth down, clearly was the story of the day. Clearly was the story of the weekend because fans can't let it go. If you didn't see it, once again, there was a call that should have been made that was not. There was an extra down awarded. It kept Washington State in the game. Arizona State should have taken over. And from there, the game got away from the Sun Devils. At least that's how it's explained to me. Officiating has become something that every Monday now, just on a broader base here, it feels it to me like every Monday I get either inbox on this high school football game, this ref did this to us. On college games, we will see the end of the Michigan State-Nebraska game, clearly an egregious call, non-call by the officials, and that replay doesn't work. The human element's still involved. And then you go to the Arizona State-Washington State game. And then you go to yesterday's NFL games. And so you have these guys up in the booth. Like I'm watching the Carolina Packers game. And there was a call late in the game, catch, no catch. To me, it looked like a no catch. It was ruled a catch. I don't know. You have Ed Hockley, who's a Valley guy, who I've done some stories around, who's a nice enough fellow, who ends up being on television. And Chris Collinsworth says outwardly on Sunday Night Football, we see too much of Ed Hockley. So every week, it feels like officials have become so much part of the game, and so much blame goes to them, rather than just taking a step back and saying, well, it's not just the officials' fault. It's the team's fault. It's everybody else's fault. Look at yourself in the mirror. That the easy way to go about this, like for Arizona State fans, the easy out was, well, it's the ref's fault that we lost the game. The refs had it in for us. And if that one call would have gone our way, it would have completely changed the game. And I just have to say, no, if you look at how porous your defense was late in the game, and I'm not going to excuse away the call. And of course, the Pac-12's incompetent when it comes to referees. This is not a first-year problem with the Pac-12. It's not even a fifth-year problem. I've been doing Pac-12 stuff for 20-plus years, and the officiating stinks. It stinks in basketball. It stinks from a consistency level. I'm sure there's nice people. I have friends who are referees at high levels. I respect the job that they do, but it feels to me like you just can't get a full group of guys together that are any good. And so if you can't figure out downs and you're going to suspend somebody for a game, it means they're going to come back eventually and you can't just fire all of them. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. What'd you do over the weekend, E? Did you watch what, college stuff or?
A lot of college on Saturday. Watched the alma mater get drilled, as I knew they would.
Yeah, you said their defense stunk.
TCU was due for a loss. Yeah. It was going to happen. They're probably going to lose a couple games. Everyone's like, oh, no, they're really good. Well, no, they're actually not very good. So
I want to talk about that a little bit further, but
covered a couple of high school games on Friday, too. It was awesome.
It was fun.
Playoffs are the best.
It's fun. I mean, that's what we do here, sports360az.com. Paula, in about 10 minutes, this Chase Lucas announcement. So Chandler High is having some power issues today, we understand. So we'll see when we get to it. It's on Chandler High, so we'll just hang in there. Now, did you see the Russell Wilson story? When we go on bye week, right, guys, when we decide to get away for a week before we have something really major coming up, like the Cardinals play the Seahawks this coming Sunday, have you ever just taken off and gone to Mexico on a private jet?
No, I've never been on a private jet. I've been to Mexico, but yeah. I drove.
You drove?
In a car with a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
So.
Did you go with Sierra?
No.
No.
I wish.
Yeah. So I saw this, that Russell Wilson clearly is in game mode for this week's game between the Cardinals and Seahawks, which is on Sunday Night Football, which is merely the biggest game of the year. When Russell Wilson decides to unplug, we have some pictures of him unplugging, and he decided that let's put these pictures up on Instagram. Of course he did. Of course that let's show everybody just how dang hot we are, the two of us, Sierra and Russell Wilson. And so they went to Mexico. Hey, why don't we model? Why don't we take some pics and throw them up there so that Calais and James Betcher and Patrick Peterson can see that I'm really focusing very hard on my upcoming matchup with the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday. Of course you are. Yeah. How many more? How about just we're going to go disappear? But instead, no, why don't you guys take pictures of us getting hot and bothered all over each other and put it out on social media? There we go. Of course. I'm so focused on making sure I make the play happen in the Cardinals game. I'm going to get on a horse in a beach in Mexico on my week off.
I'm going to stand right in the middle of the street on this.
Come on.
Because I see your point, but I also understand these players have been grinding since. When did training camp
open?
Well,
he was grinding on this trip. What are you talking about? I'm not judging.
Remember what happened a couple years ago when LeBron was out here to play the Suns and Ohio State was playing the national championship, and LeBron decided to, I'm just going to take my jet to Dallas,
yeah,
and I'm going to stand on the sidelines.
It's fine.
And then I'm going to fly back in the middle of the night, and the next night I'm going to drop 40 against the Suns. I mean, athletes live, they live in a different world than the rest. I mean, for us, it's like, ooh, big weekend. Where are you going? I'm going to San Diego and we're driving.
Right.
For him, it's like, well, I've got a private jet and I've got millions and millions of dollars, as does my girlfriend. And we're just going to take this private jet down to Mexico and we're just going to enjoy ourselves. So,
well, here's the thing.
I don't think any of the Cardinals probably did anything that extravagant.
Well, I don't know.
On their bye week, I wouldn't think.
Give me a horse on the beach.
I know Fitz likes to go tour the world in the off season.
Here's my thing. They can go do whatever they want to do. But do you really have to be that social media savvy? That's a publicist. Hey, guys, let's put some pictures out there so that Hollywood Reporter and Hollywood Life can pick this up. Which is, of course, because I have no life, where I saw these over the weekend. It's like, you got to be kidding me. And, of course, they had to readdress their decision on their relationship to abstain from sex until marriage. They had to talk about it over the weekend. Of course they did. They're on a horse, and they're just having some fun little photos. Let's see here. Ciara and Russell decided early in their relationship to abstain from sex until marriage. She was on tour, and I was looking at her in the mirror, and God spoke to me, Russell revealed. In an interview back in July, he said, I need you to lead her. I told her, what would you do if we took all that extra stuff off the table and just did it Jesus' way? The 26-year-old continued, clarifying that, yes, he was indeed talking about sex. So I'm not going to go through all this, but this is what he did this weekend. I don't care if you abstain. I don't care. My whole thing is this completely overtook social media. And when it's that contrived, when there's outside sources saying, look, you need to go do this. There's some other pictures we didn't even put up of the private jet of them on the runway and all that stuff. So they're going through all these intimate details on the bye week. That is called building your brand for when you're done, because you're going to be on the E! Channel and you want big endorsements. That's all that this is. So I think it's kind of funny about this. Look, I respect him and his ability to play. I respect him and his stance and his religious views. Who am I to question that stuff? But I am going to sit here and say, why would you go out there and have people lead you around so you'd create more buzz about yourself when it's supposedly a bye week? I mean, I see PR weasel stuff all the time. And PR weasels hate it when I call them PR weasels. But that's what this was. So we have a game on the field this week that's very, very important. And I think it's just kind of funny that Russell Wilson decided to be so out there with his view. And he may not have even known. He's like, hey, look, somebody's going to take some pictures of us. Let's go do our thing.
So if he goes, I don't know, 13 for 32
had nothing to do with it.
160 yards and three interceptions against the Cardinals, will he catch more heat for this?
In Seattle, heck no, because their offensive line's not very good. What he should catch heat for is Sierra's tone body is more tone than his body. And she goes bodyboard and she goes book. If I'm Russell Wilson standing next to her in a swimsuit, it's like, dang, I have to go back in the weight room. Excuse me. I got nothing. Because some of these pictures are just like her biceps are bigger than his biceps. Like she could kick his butt. If he doesn't play well, she'd throw him down. They're abstaining, of course, but she'd throw him down. All this stuff. That it's the noise, it's the Kardashian-like approach, okay? I've never seen guys here in town outside of Matt Leinart who were so consumed and had people wanting to make sure. I mean, Steph Marbury had some of that stuff, the cherry red convertible Bentley at 2 o'clock in the morning speeding down Scottsdale Road. You know, Fitz doing his thing. Fitz would never do this type of stuff. I don't care about what guys drive, but when you're trying to get away and you want to put all this stuff out there, that's my point. As for the game itself, this will be the start of the litmus test for those of us, and I don't think I'm alone in this boat. There are many around town that cover the team, and there are fans, too, that get it. The Cardinals have not really done much of anything other than beat the teams that they were supposed to in the first half of the season. They haven't beat teams that are very good. And so starting this Sunday night, it should be ramped up. fandom is great, but your expectations should be much, much greater than, oh, it's going to be so exciting to watch the Cardinals this Sunday or a week from Sunday when Cincinnati's here and we're going to be loud and we're going to fill the nest. No, don't. That stuff, you want to see your team actually beat a good team or two. Because as the season has progressed, I don't think anybody saw Minnesota coming out of the blue. I don't think anybody saw that that was going to happen. I don't think anybody saw that Carolina would keep playing as well as they've played, although I'm not convinced that they're a great team. Green Bay, they're making a big deal today out of fighting on the sidelines. That to me is noise. That's just filling time, saying, oh my gosh, there must be problems there. It's grown men that do get into it. That's part of sports. That's the passion of sports. And I thought the Packers played pretty well yesterday. The Cardinals haven't convinced me that they're an elite team. They're a good team. I wouldn't say they're a very good team even. So Paula's going to join us on the other side, and we're going to talk more about that. And the Pac-12 officials and a second chance at a fourth down conversion and an inadvertent whistle and how that changed the course of the game. Or is she on my side of the street, which is, look, ASU just stunk out loud defensively in the second half. When you allow four touchdowns in five possessions, that has nothing to do with an inadvertent whistle. Nothing. It's when I get people today that are saying, well, it's the official's fault that we lost the game. You've got to be kidding me. Please be better than that. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We understand out of Chandler High, the power is still not working. So for those of you wanting to check out that announcement, it will be up on our site over on the CUSD side on the Chandler tab when they get it all figured out. We're going to continue with Paula. That's next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmak.
Paula Bovin, fresh, refreshed, relaxed from a trip to Pullman, Washington, where she saw an inadvertent whistle or heard an inadvertent whistle. Paula Bovin joins us live via Skype, and the ASU faithful are claiming it was the ref's fault. At least that's what I'm hearing. And I just look at that and shake my head and say, no, your defense stinks and allowed four touchdowns in the final five possessions. Thus, you are in this mess. Where do you come down on what happened Saturday?
Brad, probably somewhere in the middle. I mean, you know, obviously ASU did this to itself. They made a lot of mistakes and did not play well. But I understand the annoyance because it's happened 2 weeks in a row. The same guy's name, the same lines judge is coming up as far as being involved in controversial plays that the Pac-12 has, you know, stepped back and said, hey, they were wrong. You know, and it was 14-3 at the time. There is a little bit of a momentum issue that, you know, if Washington State hadn't scored that touchdown, maybe things would have been different. I don't know. It wasn't why they lost the game. They did that to themselves. But I understand the frustration because it seems like, Brad, this is coming up every week with the Pac-12 now, something related to officiating. And the thing that, you know, the other thing fans are bringing up, and this has been an issue for me, I wrote, I think, a column about it 5 years ago, you can't have someone from the Pac-12 on that committee, among that crew. There is an Arizona guy on that crew. He absolutely didn't have anything to do with it as far as that call. I would never suggest that. I don't believe it. But it's, again, it's the appearance. And they've got to stop doing that where they have these guys who are graduates from, you know, Arizona or whatever, officiating an ASU game because the perception drives fans crazy.
Well, here's the bottom line on this, though, to me.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it's Michigan State and Nebraska where there was an egregious missed call there, or if it's yesterday watching NFL games where there's missed calls, or on a Friday night where there's missed calls and 100 fans at a high school game want replay involved. Officiating just stinks, and it's become too hard of a job, it feels like, for people to do. I don't want to get into an age bias thing, but perhaps there are guys out there that the game is just moving too fast for them. These are people that have other jobs, so maybe it's time to, this is all that you do. The players are bigger, stronger, faster, so the reaction time is much quicker. In this case, though, this is just an inadvertent whistle. This has nothing to do with age. This should have nothing to do with experience. A guy half blowing his whistle Does that happen often? No, but it seems to me, and you and I, you've covered the Pac-12 longer than I have. The Pac-12 has always had issues, and it just feels like every Monday now, part of the news cycle is, can you believe this blown call, and you can believe that blown call, and that it's very easy just to lean on that as a crutch and say, well, we lost the game because of this or that.
I agree with everything you're saying, but the thing with the inadvertent whistle was the reaction afterward. An inadvertent whistle will happen, but it's sort of how they responded, I think, that really reflects negatively. And maybe it is time to sort of look at what's wrong with the system. You know, do they need to be paid more so that they don't have other jobs and during the week they can be involved in more training? Is there a better sort of preparation for these people? I think everyone understands mistakes are going to be made, and I have no problem with that. But to me, the manner of how these things are handled lately, and also just the volume, it just seems worse. And I appreciate the Pac-12 and their transparency. I don't think that was always the case in the past. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe they need to look deeper into it now. I don't believe it's bias or anything else, but I think you need to look deeper into maybe a way to prevent it.
So Rich Troyer is the line judge. He's been suspended from his next game. The crew has been downgraded. What does that mean other than they're not going to get a great bowl game, or that are their jobs in jeopardy? Just because a guy is out for one game doesn't mean he's going to be back the next week. So is the conference looking at this saying, yes, he made a mistake. Yes, we have to take some sort of action. You're dinged one game, but he's still going to be back out there the next time around.
Yeah, I don't think it means much beyond what you were suggesting about what type of games they are available, but available to them. But again, I mean, I think the response is fine, but I think they have to go deeper with this problem and figure out why it seems to be worse now and how to solve it on the front end instead of responding to it on the back end.
Paula Bovin with us, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Okay, so bigger picture, and I'm sorry to keep going off the same narrative, they're not going to make a bowl game, in my opinion. I brought that up last week. I wrote about it. Same with U of A. I could have just never fathomed that these two schools would not even become bowl eligible. How much heat, how much pressure is there on ASU now? Is this a situation where we're going to be looking at staff changes at the end of the season?
I don't think so. It's certainly not significant. Here's what ASU has going for it. They have three previous seasons of 9 victories, 10 victories, 10 victories, bowl trips. They have possibly, it looks like, maybe the best in-state recruiting they've ever had coming into for this season. They did a great job recruiting last year. I think all those factors are very sort of going to balance it out a little bit. I know fans are frustrated. I know they're mad at Mike Norvell. I think there will be some soul searching going on. But I don't think there's going to be widespread coaching and staff changes with ASU. I think Arizona's the interesting story because while they've done some decent recruiting, I don't think they're in the same level right now recruiting-wise. And, you know, I think these Rich Rod rumors, there's something to them. I was reading Greg Byrne sends out this Wildcat Wednesday, I think every week, to Arizona supporters. And sort of his response to this whole thing was, you know, we know that Rich Rodriguez is very popular. That reflects positively on us. And, you know, we want him to know that we want him to stay kind of comments.
What's he going to say on that one? That's my thing is, I told you a couple weeks ago, Georgia is going to come after him when Mark Richt leaves. There's connections to Rich Rod right here in our state, in our backyard here in Maricopa County, to Rich Rod in Georgia that are very strong. And he's going to get pursued there. He's going to get pursued by Virginia Tech. And I think he's going to leave. I want to, and that's just me. And Todd's not going anywhere unless Todd wants to. But right. From there, let's talk about ASU and what do they do at quarterback here? Okay, 3 weeks left. I'm not saying that you bench Burko, but I think it's irresponsible if you don't start giving Manny Wilkins or Bryce Perkins or Brady White at least 10-15 plays per game. This is just silly at this point.
Well, and I think the case with ASU is they've been, you know, they have and they still feel in their minds that they're in the hunt for a bowl game. So until that changes, which
San
could
Diego,
be by the end of
Vegas?
Yeah, absolutely. Todd Graham firmly believes they'll win their next three games. That's
sure,
how he's thinking.
Of course
thinking.
But Paula, who cares about the Vegas Bowl? I know it's about, well, these seniors right. and he's played hard and all that stuff, but there comes a point where it's the same trajectory every year. You're going to these same minor bowls. You're not going to major bowls.
Yeah, but Brad, but when you look at, you know, you look at the how a coach has done over his span of his career, people will say, oh, he had four straight seasons of a winning record. Yeah. They went to four straight bowl games. Those things matter, I think, in the eyes of obviously the coach, the administration, the fans, as stupid as those bowl games may be. Now, if they lose and they're out of the mix, absolutely, I agree, you start looking at those other quarterbacks. But they truly believe right now Berkovici gives them a better shot at winning than those other quarterbacks. And they love those other guys, but at least up until a couple weeks ago, Graham was saying that that's been one of the storylines with this team this season is that they felt like they didn't have a backup ready. So
okay, so on the fourth down where Burko gets pulled to the ground, I have to look at that and say Manny Wilkins makes that play. Manny
sure.
Wilkins is much more fleet of foot than Berkovici is. And I get it that the U of A game comes up next week. I don't care if they win or lose. A win over U of A does not make it a successful season. Not with when you're being told that this is the greatest team that you've assembled since you've been at ASU, or the best team, whatever it was, how he phrased it. Winning against U of A is just another win. They stink. So
right.
I'm getting a little fatigued with, well, we got to stay true to these seniors when, no, not when you built this thing up as high as you did. You got to start playing some kids so that next year you actually can come off of this season and say, well, this kid got 100 snaps. This kid got 200 snaps. Not, oh, it's great, we went to a bowl game and we're going to get all this practice, because I hear that nonsense every year too.
Hey, listen, they'd love a situation where it was at Baylor, I think, this weekend, started their freshman quarterback after, you know, losing their quarterback, and and he did great. So I just think that they feel like those young players aren't there yet. I'm sure they've improved even over these last few weeks, but they feel that way. And the other thing you got to remember, there have been some other issues with this offense. It has certainly been Berkovici and his some of his decision-making, his throws. But it's also been they feel like they don't have the receivers that they've had in the past. So I just feel like they think putting those guys in right now, until the season is out of reach as far as a bowl game or whatever, they're not going to go that direction, Brad.
Do you think the players should be blamed for any of this, these seniors that he's talked about, great senior leadership?
Blame. I mean, how do you use the word blame in a college sort of football universe? As far as leadership, I think they've been A1 with that. I do not think any player on that team will point the finger at Berkovici or Simone or any of those guys and say player leadership was an issue. Because believe me, I covered this team for many years, and that was a big issue in the past. I have not seen it with this team. And that's what's mystified me a little bit with this group, is I don't sense a lot of, you know, there are guys obviously who wish they were playing more. There's those kind of issues. But I don't feel like there's this big, you know, issue in the locker room or concerns about leadership. I just think maybe, you know, they overestimated some of the talent and they haven't executed very well.
And but I'll go back to the USC game. Did Simone take a bad route in the USC game, a bad angle on tackling? The answer is yes. Did Berkovici, and I don't want to get too nitpicky about this, but when everybody wants to point at Todd and everybody wants to point at Mike, better start looking at Todd's defense that gives up four touchdowns in five possessions last Saturday. So the players have to be held. Paula, it's one of these fine lines. Do you crush a kid who's in college? No. But does a kid in college have to take the blame for some of the things that have happened? Coaches can only do so much. It's not 100% on the coach's fault here.
No, I completely agree. As I agree with how much, you know, how much do you rip a guy in college? Certainly in my world, you rein it in a little bit,
yes,
versus the pros, because
you're dealing with
fragile minds and fragile personalities. But of course, I mean, I think there's been a lot of issues. And Berkovici said it after the game. It was on me. I failed to convert. So he knows that he's not performing the way he should. And I think you can find that with, I mean, I can't think of the number of times after games this season where Graham has mentioned somebody, you know, missed assignment or ran a wrong route. Not naming names, but it's certainly been a factor with this team. And it's interesting because attention to detail was such a big thing with Graham's teams the past 3 years. But It has not been this year.
Okay, so speaking of, I think you used the term fragile minds a little bit earlier.
I have a feeling I know where this is going.
So Saturday morning, I'm in a really fine mood until I see Marcus Morris say some of the dumbest things ever. And then Marquis follows up with even just asinine comments about how I should have more respect from the officials. Like, just shut up. Marcus Morris ripping Suns fans and comparing them to Detroit Pistons fans. That's the end all of end all for me. That tells me everything I need to know about Marcus Morris and just how out of touch with reality he is. Did you see those comments up in Pullman, and what did you make of them?
Yeah, I was stunned because, I mean, learn to be a professional, Marcus. Look at the other pros in your league. They hate fans at other cities, too. They felt jilted by other teams. But you rarely hear them react in that way. You move on. You're the bigger guy. You know, he's like hurting any chance of endorsements and those things when he does that. So he's hurting himself because he's turning out to be a pretty darn good player and has done well with Detroit. But he's just hurting himself by doing it. And to me, I mean, you mentioned what universe you're living in. That's exactly what it is. He is so out of touch about how to behave as a professional in a professional league. It blows my mind.
Well, and Markeith is just as guilty on this. Look, the two of them, the fact that the Suns had the two of them here for as long as they did tells me another really not bright, smart player personnel decision or decisions. And you know I've not been big on Keefe. And so the two of them combined on Friday night just make me want to get the exit sign illuminated that much quicker from Markeith. And they were awful again last night, defensively just awful last night.
We talk about this a lot about coaches and GMs and owners and feel like they can fix players. And, you know, I know that the Suns were in a tough situation because they committed to him. They have this money committed to him. He was not very tradable. So they were trying to make it work. And I was one of those people. As you know, we've argued about this a lot, Brad. Yes. I thought he could be fixed. But, you know, to continually be this kind of a personality is a bit head scratching. Okay,
before we get you out of here, did you see the Russell Wilson Sierra pictures from the?
I have not. On their vacation or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know if Eric can pull them up, but if he can't, the Sierra riding on horses with Russell. Oh, there they are. I don't know if you can see them on your Skype, but it's dance poses that are there on. It's dance poses on the sand and riding on horses on the beach. So humor yourself today, and you'll see that Russell is clearly in. I am ready for the Cardinal pass rush this coming Sunday night. You know, he's got his game face on. There's no question. And in all seriousness, I'm fine with guys going and taking a break. Okay. But when the publicist clearly wants to get these pictures out in the Hollywood Reporter and other outlets just to build up their brand together, it makes me want to puke all over my shoes. So
how do you really feel, Brad?
Yeah, so go check it out.
Bottom line, if he's not playing well, it's going to come back to bite him. You know, you take a risk when you go that route. I have not had a big problem with how Russell Wilson has played this season. I know a lot of people have, but I think there's a lot of other things that have gone on with that team, and that includes protection by that offensive line. So, yeah, we'll see if it'll come back to bite him or not.
All right, good stuff there on Skype. Thanks for the visit, as always.
All right, Brad.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She joins us every week. That's kind of fun. We got after it. Eric, do you want us to spar more often? I mean, we don't plan or show prep or anything, but do you want us to fight like little?
It's always
seventh
good to
graders?
Spar. It's always good to spar.
No, and she's fine. I respect Paula. I have no problem with Paula. She's wrong, but I have no problems with her.
I think in the future, as I just told Jared Nielsen, if the people that we bring in studio for the TV show can't make it in studio, we're just going to send them to Paula's house because she has the presidential Wi-Fi up there at her home.
Well, she has this big moat and bridge and gators.
Oh, I mean, the connection was as strong and crystal clear as it's ever been. I mean, Jared Nielsen was giddy about it. Like, wow, it's in 16. He's saying all these things. I'm just like, uh-huh. Yes, you're technical, and I just run
the
show.
So is that kind of like the technical setup at Chandler High School for this kid making his announcement?
This is not an us problem, as we say in the business. This is not an us problem.
So So Chandler High's got this press conference going on for Chase Lucas, if he's going to announce ASU or not. And they're like, yeah, we've got it. Let's carry it. So, of course, we'll carry it. And they still don't have the power out there today. So it's fine.
And the press conference is over. He's going to ASU.
He's going to ASU.
He is.
All right. Shocking.
Not so really.
That's a good get for them.
Very good. Going to play safety and maybe a little bit in the slot at receiver, he says.
So that means
it doesn't really strike me as a safety. Strikes me more as a corner.
But, okay. We'll talk about this on the other side. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So kind of a who cares Monday night game tonight, unless you have fantasy players. And I have the Chargers defense, but I already won. But Chargers-Bears is tonight. The Coyotes play tonight over against the Ducks. That's over on Fox Sports Arizona. TV show tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. It's now every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on Fox Sports Arizona. And I'm sure we'll have much more on the fifth down call and some recruiting. So recruiting is a big part of what we do. We have fun with it. We understand that there's a passion for it. There are a lot of high school kids in our state that are getting recruited. I think last year, Jason Jewell from scout.com told me it was upwards of 90 kids that were getting scholarships. And it's well beyond that when you factor in some of the other programs. Chase Lucas committed this morning. Chase Lucas is out of Chandler High School, and he committed to Arizona State University. So ASU is 2-for-2 over at Chandler High. The connection there is the head coach and Todd Graham have a very good relationship. It would not surprise me someday to see Sean Aguano actually work for Todd Graham. Would not surprise me in the least. So now this week, there's a quarterback, top quarterback who's a junior, who has got it down to, I think it's Oregon, UCLA, ASU, and I've seen him play many times, Ryan Kelly. And he's announcing at 8 a.m. On Thursday morning. So it's a good day for ASU. It's always good to go through letter of intent day or to have the announcements of hometown kids say that they are staying at home. As I like to point out to people, though, I can go all the way back through the years and go through each recruiting class and say, this kid was supposed to be the greatest player ever because he did this and he did that. And he got to ASU and he did nothing. And it doesn't matter if it's – who is the wide receiver – there's a wide receiver out of Centennial that was really good, and he couldn't make it academically. This is like 15 years ago, and he was supposed to be the greatest of the greatest of the greatest. But it doesn't matter if it's Ryan Keeley. Ryan Keeley was supposed to completely tear it up at ASU, or Justin Taplin from Tempe. He was supposed to tear it up. Or Jarrell Robinson, he was supposed to tear it up. Or Kerry Taylor, he was supposed to tear it up. So you can go right down the list of guys through the years, and they didn't tear it up.
Then I mean, those guys had good careers, but they didn't have
what everybody
elite
was expecting.
Careers.
Yeah, I mean... And then there's this kid named Pat Tillman who just kind of sort of wandered his way onto campus, and he ended up being great. And there's this kid named Jake Plummer who was supposed to be okay, and he ended up being better than okay by a long ways. So I don't get all that high or all that low. I do like it when the kids decide to stay at home. You know, for every kid that decides to leave and goes to go to Texas A&M, if you're Kyle Allen today, this morning, what are you thinking? Other than Kyler Murray stunk out loud the other night. But he's still a kid from Texas, and you're not.
And he's got a concussion now, so it'll be real interesting to see what Sumlin does. Because
if he doesn't play him, then he's done there.
But there's a part of me that thinks Kyle Allen's hurt, and no one's saying anything.
All right. Well, you would know about that more than I would. Did you watch Alabama?
I did. Watched the whole game.
So I said this off the top, and you may have missed it, but I don't have them in my four right now.
Okay.
I'm not in this SEC man crush that we seem to have in this country. I think it's just that the SEC has much, much better media exposure and coverage through their TV contracts than anybody else has. So my four right now are Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Baylor. I don't have Oklahoma State in there, and I don't have Alabama in there. I think they're close. I think Baylor, and you hate Baylor, but they have both Oklahoma schools and then TCU. They're going to probably lose somewhere along the way. But the Big 12, from my point of view, it's not that I'm in love with Clemson. It's not that I'm in love with them. I don't think Clemson, if Clemson played Baylor on a neutral site, I think Clemson probably loses that game to Baylor, in my opinion.
Close game.
If Ohio State plays Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's going to be the one that gets hosed in all this deal, from my view, they still have Stanford. But I get it. It was Pitt over the weekend.
Good win. It's a good win.
It's a good win.
It's a good win.
When I watch them play, you know, they lost to Clemson by, what, a few points.
And Notre Dame has had tons of injuries. Tons.
But, you know, Alabama looked great and they shut down Fournette, but that doesn't mean that LSU is all that they're made out to be. They're good. They both look really good. And it was a hard-hitting football game and lots of speed on the field and all of that. And I have to consider Derrick Henry now for a Heisman vote. I have to consider him. Doesn't mean that Fournette stinks. It just means that on that night, the offensive line of LSU had no shot. None.
And Bama did exactly what you need to do to LSU to beat them. If you put them in a hole and you make them a passing team and make them one-dimensional, they are not built for big comebacks. They are built for ball control, lots of Leonard Fournette, play good defense. I'll just be curious. Tomorrow, the rains will come out. Everyone will be drooling all over Alabama. Alabama's got a pretty tough game next week against Mississippi State. So if Alabama goes on the road and wins but struggles and there's a letdown or it's a close game, then the committee is going to have to go into full spin mode, because in the past, the committee has shown, if you struggle, we will drop you. But clearly, there's an agenda to get Alabama into the playoffs. And if Alabama wins the rest of their games, they
are
in.
There's just an agenda to get the SEC in
the playoffs. Of course.
And I don't see that the SEC right now, I don't see where the SEC, look, TCU could still make it, in my opinion.
No way.
Because Oklahoma and Baylor are still on their schedule.
No
I know
way.
Their defense stinks.
It doesn't matter.
But if they beat Oklahoma and Baylor.
No way. If you're in the Big 12, Brad, and you lose the game, you're done. Because that is the bias. If you're in the Big 10 and you lose the game, you can make
it. But don't you
agree? Last year, Ohio State proved
that. Don't
you
agree with me that the Big 12 probably deserves a couple of teams right now? I think Oklahoma State, I think James Washington scored again while you and I were talking.
It's hard. It's a week-to-week thing. I mean, this is the same Oklahoma State team that barely beat Texas. This is the same Oklahoma State team that squeaked by Kansas State. It's a week-to-week thing.
Well, but it's like Oklahoma, okay? How does Oklahoma lose to Texas? And their quarterback is really good
at
Oklahoma.
Good. Baker Mayfield, yeah.
They beat Tennessee, but Texas stinks. So I can't look at them. It's not like TCU had a bad loss. They just got crushed by a really good team. But if they turn back around and win their final two and Oklahoma State loses some games.
You might be right, but I just don't think a team in the Big 12, you lose a game. Sorry, you don't have a championship game the last week of the year. Baylor isn't playing, or Baylor is playing Texas, but TCU isn't playing the last week of the year. And last year, that clearly hurt them. You know, they win their game against Iowa State 55-3 and then magically drop from second or third to sixth. That just it just don't get me started.
Well, but all I'm saying is, I think of the four. To me, Clemson is the weakest of the four.
Really?
I don't like their quarterback. I'm not
wow,
the big.
You're in the minority on that.
I am not big on Clemson. I don't like Ohio State's quarterback situation. But I think, and I'm on the minority on Notre Dame. I kind of have a crush on Notre Dame.
Clemson to me looks like a team that is on such a roll. That if they just keep doing what they're doing, they're going to run the team.
Florida State's quarterback was awful the other night.
He was.
So, anyways, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sismat.